shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm your conductor. We have. This is going to be a wild ride. I am a conductor. This is going to be a crazy ride of an episode. I am joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
I can't.
There are no catchphrases.
Just say Reese.
Barely has dialogue.
Reese.
Reese. You can't have a catchphrase in a movie without dialogue. Brian Mueller.
I was thinking about that on the ride over here. I was thinking this is like the hardest I've ever had to think about an opening line. And
say my name again.
Kind of weird.
Just say my name again.
I was like, that's so weird. I know. Cody Wolf?
You shouldn't say that name.
Oh, that was good. All right, that's good.
That was very good. Cody Wolf. Cody. Yeah. What's the big deal?
Yeah. And
Noose.
What you can't see is my leg was broken.
And one Jackson Estabrook.
Jackson Estabrook here on the scene. Because I have no line, because Cody took the only one, I'm going to have to reassure all the listeners out there that at various points during this podcast, we are going to be staring at each other's shoes instead of looking at each other in the face when we have conversations to try to...
Yeah, Jack, you're staring at other people's shoes.
The flow of the film.
I've heard that one before. Let's just say Jack got it in trouble Jack. Before staring at people's shoes.
Our movie
that
this
was
week
to be
is
sealed. Oh. That was when I was a minor. How did you find out?
Well, my eyes only.
We got the found footage on it. Our movie this week is 2015's The Gallows.
The Gallows.
The Gallows.
Fun fact about The Gallows, I was telling these guys earlier, my cousin who is in college for engineering, she goes to a different city every summer for an internship, and her internship this past summer was in that town in Nebraska.
Oh, really? Oh. So I'm guessing it means this was shot in Nebraska?
She built the set for the play. That's her. She's engineering with a theater.
Oh.
Specialties.
Is that true?
No.
Okay.
That's a really convincing role.
This is a found footage horror film that
I wish
convinced...
it was lost footage.
Zing.
Sorry, that was a Jack line.
I'm convinced that this movie did not start as a found footage movie. I mean, like when it was written.
Oh, like in pre-production. Okay.
I feel like when it was being written, this was.
I think it had to be a found footage movie. It really didn't add anything to it.
It doesn't make any sense to be a found footage movie either. No. Like, at no point in this film doesn't make any sense that anyone's shooting anything.
No, it never.
This
makes
movie
sense.
Demands like a standard narrative storytelling structure.
Yeah,
I thought it was creepy in the beginning. Where it's the footage from 93, like someone shooting the play, and that was kind of creepy seeing the play, like the kid dying in the play. That worked there, but the rest of the movie didn't work at all.
It doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole point of a found footage movie is the premise starts with someone having a reason to shoot something.
They forgot that basic premise.
No, there's I paused there because no I was just there's realizing no that tree on the wall here in the room we're recording is eerily similar to the tree in the set of the Gallows.
Don't try to kick it over.
That's true. Yeah, we'll be very respectful of the set. So as Cody said, the movie starts with camcorder footage.
Camcorder?
Yeah.
Camcorder footage. We're going to review the Guinness.
What's the best footage you can get?
It was like a Canadian Swedish chef.
It's the best footage you can get. It's the British from the camcorder. Bring out the camcorder, please, again. We have to catch Sally's first tips.
We're
going to
review the Gallows.
That was
the
weird. Camcorder footage of a 1993 school play called The Gallows.
A play within a play.
We learn that this high school play has a working gallows on the set.
Right here, the movie stops.
Because it's either, you either have... like a real noose, which I don't know why you have anyways, and no trapdoor. Or you have a trapdoor and like a safety noose if you're actually going to do a hanging.
Yeah,
but apparently they had a mixture of a trapdoor and an actual noose around a kid's neck.
Why would you... How did this possibly happen is
like,
my
things
first
were
question.
Different in 93.
And why weren't charges brought against the drama department? They never mentioned that.
Do you notice that no one... It seems to be totally... Because we cut forward 20 plus years... And things are totally cash.
It's
no
like
one's
a punchline
like,
now.
Holy cow, that's crazy that there was a working gallows
and
a guy
died.
And
not only that, but they're trying to remake the same play.
And again, they have a gallows with a trapdoor and
yeah, exactly. They brought out the same prop.
The same, like no, that's, no parent was
nothing
like,
could go hey, wrong.
Hold
there.
On, everybody. A kid died when we had a working gallows that one time.
And I want to stress for all of you people out there, spoiler alert, in no way, shape, or form does this movie in any way allude to the fact that this kid was murdered. This is genuinely an accident facilitated by the fact that these dumbasses put a real gallows on their stage during a play.
Yeah. I would call it negligence, but I don't it's gross negligence, but
well, I like how the drama teacher makes that vague allusion to it at one point where he's like, I'd like to thank everyone for their hard work. It took a lot to get this show actually to the stage, including getting it past the school board. Like, well, yeah, like I can see why there was some concerns there.
Now, why does this guy have a morbid fascination with bringing the playback? Is he like pulling a George Lucas?
No, I think
he doesn't.
No, it's Pfeiffer who does, because she gets up in front of class and she's like, oh, you know, I worked really hard to get this play approved and blah blah blah. So she's the one, which you find out later why, but she's the one who's pushing.
During all of that, during the director's speech and Pfeiffer's, I wanted to hear like audio of someone being like, hey, what about that kid that died?
We don't know, speak like, his name.
Yeah, no one talks about it. No one even references.
No, they make jokes about it. Like, oh, you're hanging out like Charlie did or something like that. But that's like the only time they ever mention like the fact that a kid died.
You would think this would at the very least be dedicated to that kid or like
slash
his family would be involved.
Well, did they even make reference to it being a 20-year anniversary?
They do, because remember, she's like, hey, look, guys, we've got the same programs that they used 20 years ago. And everyone's like, awesome.
Great. Like, we didn't even change the names.
Yeah. Like, okay. Everyone's reaction is a little too enthusiastic about that.
I like the direct approach that the director's taken. He's doing it exactly the same way. Like, he's not thinking, well, okay, well, let's try to do this creatively without the noose at all. And do, like, a shadow on the wall or something, or a dummy, or change it from a hanging to, like, a something else. I don't know.
Well, I mean, when the movie's called The Gallows.
Yeah, the play is called
The
Gallows.
Yeah, but you can do
he gets
like
shot on the gallows.
Change the script title a little bit. You can call it like The Stocks or something, and not as
Stocks.
The Tar and Feather.
Is that the alternate title for Michael Douglas Wall Street movie?
I don't know.
What's gonna happen in The Stocks?
He's gonna get up there and stick his head through.
You don't die that way unless
somebody cuts it off.
And people throw fruit and vegetables at him?
Well, it would be a G-rated dumbed down of the gallows to get past the school board. That's right.
Wow.
I don't know.
The shaming.
So we find out
the flogging.
It's a mild flogging. We find out there's a kid behind a camera. He's a football player.
He's the most obnoxious main character.
He is our main character / cinematographer.
Oh, he is the worst.
There's
and
nothing
that says
redeeming
a lot
about him.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. And
his only motivation.
He's the most annoying of the characters, of the teenagers. And spoiler, we later find out one of them might be a murderer. The murderer is less annoying than this kid.
He is. His only motivations is trying to make Piper feel bad.
Pfeiffer.
Feel bad.
Pfeiffer, who's the lead actress in the
show. So there's four characters. There's Pfeiffer, right? I don't remember the other names.
How do you know what all they say are names? Pfeiffer.
Because these characters are so flat and generic, none of them stood out.
I don't
Pfeiffer,
even,
you
Reese,
could scream their names every 5 minutes.
Ryan
and Cassidy.
Starting that sentence so authoritatively. All right, there's four characters. There's Pfeiffer. I don't remember the other three. That's all I got.
Because they're just so... nothing stands out. You have the blonde cheerleader girl, the
obnoxious
friend. They
yell each other's names, like,
it's
constantly.
All the 90% of this movie is
so... It goes through your head.
Cassidy!
Yeah, Cassidy,
Reese,
you're being a bitch.
Ryan. It goes through your... I don't know. It goes out in one ear, out the other for
well,
me.
Well,
it
seems like a
kinda,
good point to...
All the screaming just kind of blended.
To say something that Jack and I noticed, that all of the characters' names in the movie... are their same names in real life?
Yeah, one of them.
Like their first names.
One of them's first and last name is the same, I think. Ryan, I think, is just
Ryan. Pfeiffer's actually Pfeiffer in real life.
This goes to one of my other theories that this didn't really have a script and that a lot of it was improv'd, and that the kid who was playing Reese, or I guess Reese who was playing Reese, wasn't totally on board with this idea because he seems constantly stumped for something to say.
Yeah, I have lots of observations about his character that we'll get into in a bit.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
So they're moving through it. We also find out that the 1993 cast photo of the Gallows production is in a frame in the main hallway. Yeah. Which one of the characters in the movie even says, that's unbelievably morbid. They have this picture up here. It's like
in the trophy.
Why are you
holding a noose?
A guy who died from a noose is holding a noose in a framed photo.
So why would you put that on display?
I don't know.
It's front and center.
Yeah, it's not even like in memoriam or anything.
No, there's like no more. It's so really heartless.
It's like all of their drama productions, like people die and there's like a gun in one. And
yeah. And Ryan is going around interviewing people.
Yeah, I didn't know why he was interviewing people.
Exposition.
Why was he shooting any of this?
Well, they kind of mentioned he was in charge of like shooting the play. That was like his role in the drama class. Yeah, because at one point they're like, oh, why don't you go use the camera you're supposed to be using? Or whatever. He's like, oh, I like my camera better. He was supposed to use the camera like in the light box or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's never using that camera. He's always just running around with his own camera. But I didn't understand why he started interviewing people at one point. Like, I get, okay, he's running around with his camera just having fun or whatever. But to start, like, actually, like, formally interviewing people was, like, weird.
So in the drama class, like, while everyone else is actually doing, like, roles and doing behind-the-scenes stuff, his job is just to... Shoot the play.
Shoot the behind the scenes material. Yeah.
He's shooting the DVD extras.
Yeah. And at one point there's like a middle aged woman who's been hanging around rehearsals.
Oh.
Yeah. And he just interviews her and she's pretty cash about the whole like a kid.
Well,
died.
She said 20 years to get over it.
Well, I guess she said she's like that she was in the production 20 years ago, and he said something and she was just kinda like, yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, it's like
Then they make a big deal here too about Charlie having had a girlfriend.
Yeah, she like just drops in there like, oh, he had a girlfriend. Yeah.
And then Ryan's like, he had a girlfriend?
Why was everyone so shocked by that?
Yeah. Oh, Charlie's the kid who died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say his name.
Don't say his name. Please don't say his name.
You can say everyone else's name. Well, Jack can because he doesn't remember them. But if you remember them, you can't say everyone else's name but Charlie. Okay. Damn it, I just did it again.
Find out that Reese is a football player.
Yes.
Who
was a football player. Wait, no.
He
keeps saying he left the team, but then he's like in the locker room with a locker. He's on the field at one point.
No, yeah, he did leave the team. Yeah.
But no, I think
afterwards, he's in the locker room again.
Because remember they have that one conversation where he's like, you shouldn't have quit the team. And he's like, well, I did quit the team.
He left the team because he likes the girl. He joined the play because he's got a crush on Pfeiffer.
How did we learn that Reese likes Pfeiffer? Was it when we look at his notebook and it says, look at me with hearts around it?
I didn't think it was a notebook. It was his script.
It literally says, look at me with pink hearts around it.
I wonder if that's it. And at that particular point, the actress does walk by and he does look at her. So that's literally the director's notes in the script. The movie script,
very
not
self-aware.
The Gallows script. This film is incredibly self-aware.
That was probably the closest thing this movie had to a script.
Yeah.
So it comes out that Reese is terrible. Is a terrible actor.
Terrible actor. Yeah. Also, in the movie, he's playing a kid who's a terrible actor.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to bring up at some point.
It's method
so let's
acting.
Do it. Wait. when you're playing a character that is within the character's acting, like that also puts some pressure on the real actor to be able to act to show some difference in between the character acting and the real life acting.
Yeah, yeah.
But the character doesn't work when you're a bad actor on both levels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's like Inception. He's struggling on both levels. Yeah.
Like there's scenes where like it looked like he didn't know what to say and like his eyes are going everywhere.
He did that a lot.
Like
his mouth is just hanging open. He's like,
I don't know a difference between his movie character and his character within the play.
I don't either. Because people talk to him constantly, especially the kid behind the camera is constantly talking to Reese. And his only reaction throughout the film up until the finale is to stare vaguely off camera.
With a befuddled look on his face.
Yeah.
Slack jaw.
Even before anything has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Nothing has even gone wrong and we're getting that same.
I mean, you legitimately could have gotten one shot of him making that face and used it in every scene.
Yeah.
The whole movie.
Just change some of the lighting conditions.
Like, oh, Reese, the doors are locked. Oh, Reese, people are done.
Reese, your phone rang.
So Ryan starts making fun of Reese because he finds out that he likes Pfeiffer.
And Michelle, so like, fight for that white gold.
So he's like, sorry, I'm going to go tell Pfeiffer that you like her. And Reese is like, no, don't. He's
but
like,
Reese doesn't kind of like a, no. Yeah,
don't do that.
Don't.
Yeah, but yeah. If
well, it's kind of like the perfect wrote, setup for if him. She wrote the little lovely look at me note in his script, like playfully, like put the script
no,
right
no,
in.
No. I think he wrote that it, himself, yeah. Hoping, to, like, I, no, think,
I thought she wrote it in his script.
I thought he wrote it in his script.
That's how I read it.
I think he wrote
it. I think I envision
that looks like what a girl would write on a guy's script, like as a note. Like,
I know,
like,
but here, she shows here, no write, interest in him at this
like,
point
wink,
in the
wink.
Movie.
She kind of giggled at him when he walked by, and that's when he went, oh my God, you're like Pfeiffer.
Maybe she wrote look at me, and then he drew the hearts, because she wrote on a script.
Oh, I think Cody's right. I think, yes, I think Cody's right.
Wikipedia, yeah. I must add, did not clarify
it didn't
on
go
who,
into
wrote
that
the note.
Who wrote the note.
It okay. Didn't get into
Wikipedia
that.
Was confused too.
Films producers, if you're listening to this, tell us who wrote the note.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what? No. Question we have. I kind of like it being vague and not, us not knowing. Sometimes there's some questions that shouldn't be answered.
It really makes you think.
Yeah. It does.
This is the kind of question that shouldn't be answered.
So Ryan goes off to tell Pfeiffer that Ryan, yes. Or that Reese likes her, and she like couldn't care less. She doesn't even.
She's making like a little smiley face.
She's
like,
being
stop
demure
it,
about
trying,
it.
She's being a little demure about it.
But
yeah,
she has business to attend
she's,
to. She's got to get this play going.
So Ryan, then
and at this
comes
point, doesn't
up,
he tug on the noose, and we find out that it's still a real noose? Doesn't he do that at some point at this scene?
Well, he pulls on those ropes.
No, that's when
he. Oh, he's playing with the ropes for the curtains.
Yeah.
Which at some point, which is a weird
which
plot point.
It's a very dumb
really
callback,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, callback with absolutely no payoff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the some geek kid, the stage manager, like tricks him into falling and looking like a fool in front of everybody. And it's for some reason, that didn't make any sense.
It never comes back.
I will say the scene brought back memories. I too was a stage manager in high school.
sorry, what I said.
Did you get a football thrown at you and drop a pumpkin on the ground?
I did not.
No.
But...
Jack
there's still time.
It.
There's yeah. still time.
There's still time.
But I don't know
so
if Jack would have caught it.
So after,
I don't think it
after
he's seen me catch football, yeah. he's seen it.
Yes, I have too. So I think this is where after Ryan tells Pfeiffer that right that Reese likes her, he discovers like the back door to the stage of the school. No,
this
is
this is comically broken.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it's like an outhouse.
You know what's
like
weird? You know what's weird though? There was a door at Maya High School in the drama department that was the exact same thing. Like wow. If you pulled on it hard enough, it never locked.
Interesting.
So there's some accuracy there. Our school, it was locked.
It's a thing.
Solid.
So this is based on a
true
story, true
events.
You say.
Yeah.
Okay.
But imagine if it says based on true events, and then the producers like went to that same high school. They're like, there was a door at my drama department that was never locked.
Based on true events.
Technically, it was.
And I'd like to say, at this point, Ryan comes up with what can only be described as a James Bond villain-esque, overcomplicated plan of...
Which makes no sense.
Ryan stinks in the play. So Ryan... Or, I'm sorry,
Reese
stinks
Reese
in the play.
See? It's not so, that... It's not so easy, is it?
It certainly isn't, Jack.
So Ryan goes to Reese and says, dude, you're terrible. If this show goes on... Pfeiffer is not going to want to go out with you because she's going to realize you're terrible. Spoiler.
Doesn't
she
know
already
at this
knows
point?
He's
yeah.
terrible. He's
like, I think she's, yeah.
He's destroying it.
How did he get cast anyway?
I felt like that was the movie I really wanted to see.
I got the sense. This.
They don't say it, but I think that she probably pushed for him to do it so he would be in the play. So I think she was setting this whole thing up.
She was kind of seducing him, like this was her plan.
Yeah, which is probably why
the
she
whole
put up
overly,
with him being terrible.
Was she seducing
Speak
him?
About overly complicated plots here. This is about to
this
get
is,
really
this
bad.
We are into Wicker Man. I think you were right.
Literally, I watched this movie at like 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. And I was awake for at least 2 more hours staring at the ceiling trying to unravel this ridiculous
thing. Oh, so you were thinking about it like 40 minutes more than the actual movie lasted. Yeah.
Yes.
And probably I was, 40 minutes more than the actual
it was. It was literally like I was like in my mind, well, if she was here, how did she know that they were going to come back at night? But then her mom is there, and she would have had to have known they were going to come back, so that means that she gave them the idea
well,
to come back.
Well, we'll get
back.
To that later yeah, on, because I've got a lot on that. All right, so Ryan comes with his plan. He goes, okay, Reese, you stink. If this play goes on, Pfeiffer's never going to go out with you. So the show must not go on.
So they're going to... Yeah.
And his plan is to stop the show from going on. They're going to break into the school and destroy the set. Because then he believes the school will be like, play's canceled. And Reese won't embarrass
himself.
Cassidy, he doesn't want Cassidy to come.
Yeah, oh, who's this other girl who's around?
He doesn't want Cassidy there. She's like, I'll help you out. He's like, no, dude, that's stupid. She's like, I'll help you out. Shut up, Cassidy. I don't want you to go. Like, he's giving her crap.
Yeah.
I think Cassidy's kind of.
I'll take Cassidy off of his hands.
Yeah. I think he would just want to be in the dark with Reese for a little bit.
Oh, that would explain the hearts.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But, so, I mean, the two things about this that really bothered me. First off, Reese has this whole plan, which is basically like, I don't know.
A seventh grader? Yeah,
very illegal to break into the school and tear down the set. Yeah. And he videotapes himself discussing the whole plan with his friends.
On school equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
Second, Reese must be a sociopath to go along with
yes,
this.
Yes, I agree.
He somehow has talked into this logic that, yeah, if I destroy Pfeiffer's dream, her one thing that she's totally loves is this play. She wants this play to go well. And if I destroy that, she's going to like me. She's going to want to be with me. Like, yeah. That's sociopathic right there. I mean,
and he's an idiot.
Yeah. At no point is he really like, no, that's probably not a good idea. I'd feel really bad. He's just like, yeah, sure, let's do that.
Yeah. So
you think
dumb.
It'll work? She'll come crying to you, man. You think it'll work?
So they actually show up back at the school. And by the way, this means our only three of the four characters we know are vandals, yes. Criminals.
Well, I was going to say that later. Yeah, it's like everyone, nobody in this movie has any redeeming qualities, like we said earlier. It's like you kind of don't care if any of them die.
And we meet Reese's dad in very a scene briefly. That makes no sense and is totally pointless until
to
later
play.
On.
Later on, yeah.
Yeah, his dad's like, get out of that play and get back to football. And it's like the opposite of Varsity Blues, where the kid's like, you're not the boss of me, dad. I'm not living your life. I'm going to, you know, he's like, I didn't. Yeah, that's where he says. He's like, I didn't quit football. And the dad's like, I don't know, agree to disagree or something.
But did he, though? See, this leads to the confusion. We don't know.
Well, no, he did, because he said to Ryan in a second, he's like, yeah, I quit football. Yeah, blah.
I think he was taking issue with the characterization.
Couldn't he do both football and the drama club? Don't they? Can't yeah,
especially
because
drama club was a class.
Like football
it was during
was like,
the school day.
It's
there
like
was no
Friday
conflict.
Nights.
Right.
Yeah, practice is probably at a time
there
was to work
no
it out.
Reason
so you can do both.
Quit
yeah, what is the dad?
Lots of kids do multiple
quit
things.
The class?
Lots of kids. This is a school of absolutes. You're either on an extracurricular activity exclusively, or you're not at all. Like, he can't do football and drama club? Like, what the hell?
What are you doing in math class? You should be playing football.
I know. So they break in, Cassidy, Ryan, and Reese. They're going around the set, and
it's like some eerie stuff begins.
Well, they see that the noose is up, which I guess the noose had been down earlier, like when they left. I didn't even notice it was down, but all the characters seem shocked that there's a noose on a set that we've only seen a noose on that set. And then they find out Pfeiffer is in the school too.
Oh, I just saw your cars in the parking lot, and that was it.
Yeah, we'll have more questions on what.
Well, yeah, when she came in the movie, when she came back in, I was thinking, like, why is she back in the movie? Like, why is she there?
Why is
just
she
have
there?
Like another person to terrorize? And you find out later why, but it's like, so, like
I knew
it was so weird that right then I was like, why?
Something's
wrong. Yeah, I suspected right away when she came back in. I was like, all right, I think I know what's happening here, kind of.
Something's up. And Cassidy, for some reason, starts revealing the plan to Pfeiffer.
Yeah, why did she do that?
I
because
have
she got,
no idea.
She got ticked off. Something set her
well,
off,
she gets,
right?
She, well, because they get
somebody
locked in.
Somebody scares her, right?
They get, as soon as Pfeiffer comes... Okay, so we're jumping ahead a little bit. Pfeiffer comes, and she asks them what they're doing. And Reese makes up some BS story about, oh, we were just coming to rehearse lines or whatever. So she doesn't know that they're turning on set. Then they go to leave, and... They're locked in. The door's locked. And all the doors are locked all of a sudden. And so they start freaking out.
Yeah.
And that's when Cassidy's like, you got to get me out of here, Ryan. You got to get me out of here. And he's like, shut up, Cassidy. You got to get me out of here. And then she's like, Pfeiffer, we broke in to tear down your set and ruin your play. Are you happy now, Ryan? Get me out of here. Ah. And that's when Pfeiffer gets all pissed at Reese.
And now Ryan has to smooth it over.
And this is another one of people screaming at Reese and him staring blankly just off camera, like at a mark. Probably painted on the wall with a giant bullseye.
Look at this part.
Yeah.
Well, then he's all mad at Ryan. He's like, you caused this. This is your fault. It's like, you went along with it.
And
you
like
literally
Ryan,
took
like,
no convincing to go.
Yeah, Reese was
isn't this the scene like where he takes her aside and he says, can I have a moment alone? And okay. And he hands him the camera. Like, I thought that was so stupid.
He puts it on the ground. He's like, oh, I'll give you guys some light. And he like leaves the camera rolling.
Yeah,
like there's no reason why they're rolling on any of this.
Well, especially too, because that whole elaborate story lie he made up was just out the window like a minute later when Cassidy revealed everything.
Yeah. Couldn't they have just said, hey, let's go hang out at the school at night, which would have just made everything so much simpler.
Why? And been they ended up hanging out that night.
Oh, like had they ever seen like had they ever seen like a horror movie before? Right, teenagers up to some nonsense to get a little nookie. Let's say they steal liquor.
Didn't want to bring the girl.
They steal liquor from like their dad's or mom's liquor cabinet. They break into the school. They're chilling on the set, and then crazy stuff starts happening. And then they pull out their cell phones and start videotaping.
I would even go as far as to say anything you can think of in your head would have made more sense than all of the mechanics they have to go through in this movie. So then creepy stuff is happening. The doors are locked. They start exploring the school Scooby-Doo style.
But they don't go very far. I'm going to say this right now. When the shit hits the fan in this movie... They really only run through like four sections. They're on the stage. They're in the prop room. They're above the stage in the catwalk. They're in a place that looks like a boiler room, and they're in the front hall.
Schools are pretty big buildings. Well, you're also leaving out, this school appears to have like Parisian style catacombs running underneath it.
That look hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
But my point is that at any time in this movie, these kids could just break a window and get out, but they choose to run aimlessly back and forth, like between the cafeteria and the auditorium and the cafeteria and the auditorium, like in Scooby-Doo. I half expected the hangman's ghost to be sticking his head out and like, oh, and then like running in and out of different doors.
That actually kind of happens later in the movie.
And he does look like a Scooby-Doo ghost too.
That would have been
funny if it was the drama teacher.
Then mask him.
I would have gotten away with it too.
I genuinely thought that drama teacher was coming back into the film in some way.
Yeah. He should have. You have no respect for my class. I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah. I thought that this was... It was going to be like the I Know Who Killed Me, like, you know, somehow disrespecting the art or something. And somewhere in here, I forget how...
Well, they go to the front. You're talking about when they go to the front desk to look for a phone, I think, to call the police.
Yeah.
And then I guess they don't find that phone or it's dead. I don't even remember what
came of that. All the phones are dead, all the phones are just
There's literally just a quick scene where they're looking around for phones in the office, which clearly has windows to the outside, which by law schools have to have like fire escape windows that you can easily get out of. And oh, by the way, hanging on most walls and most hallways and most schools are fire alarms. So here I am while they're like picking up these phones. Oh God, the phones don't work. I'm like, dumbass, break a window, pull the fire alarm. Yeah. Dumbass.
Is this where it's revealed? There are two twists in this movie, and I use that term very loosely.
More like gentle curves.
Kind
of like when you're driving on the road and the speed limit's 55 and you see the little curve arrow and it's like the speed limit goes down to 50. It's like, all right, just ease up a little bit. This will be fine. It's no big deal.
Like an on-ramp kind of thing.
Yeah.
One of them is it's somehow revealed that Reese's dad was the original...
By somehow revealed, you mean in probably the dumbest way possible.
I didn't even catch this.
They're going through the catacombs.
Yes.
The school.
And they find a TV.
Does the school even have, like, can we just, to get to the catacombs, like the Pfeiffer girl like leads them behind.
Oh yeah,
behind.
They have to like go through like a...
They're in the front desk, but there's like, it's like a library of files back there.
There's
stacks and stacks of
file rows. And then
there's a secret
door.
Yeah, then there's a door behind all of them.
And then there's like a TV.
Which opens it up to like a whole another area of the school. It's like, why is this even here?
I didn't understand that.
And it's just wasteful, like... If you have that space, why not use it for the school?
All that wasted heat.
Well, they go through the catacombs and end up in like the janitor's office or something. And like,
was that the janitor's office?
Because later on he says the janitor and there's like coffee and a donut
there. But that was
a
different room.
I'm like, is it?
No, that was a different room. That was the maintenance room.
Oh, okay.
Well, either way, they're in some room.
There's this TV in the room and it's playing news clips.
Well, there's a TV and they walk up to it and it starts playing these news clips from 93. And like they're all like edited together to like tell a story of...
Cleverly, of course.
Charlie was hanged at the play, and he wasn't supposed to be in the news. So
he was the understudy.
He was supposed to be playing the hangman, but the person who was playing August and called in sick, so he was the understudy. He was in the news. He wasn't ever supposed to be there.
Which, by the way, you don't have understudies in high school theater.
Very true.
Yes. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, if someone's sick, you either just like tough it out or... they actually do cancel the play.
Yeah.
You don't have to destroy the set to get the play canceled.
Yeah.
That's true. You can just call him sick. So at the end of that, like the TV goes off, whatever, and for some reason Reese gets this idea in his head.
Well, he sees the image of the cast photo.
Oh, on the TV.
First he sees the TV. What? He sees the cast photo. Something clicks, and he takes off running. And then they're like, Reese, Reese,
yeah,
Reese, and then we see more of the floor.
He goes. Yeah, he sees the thing on the TV. He's like trying to rewind the tape. He's like, "There's no tape in here." And so he goes. He remembers that the picture's in the lobby or whatever. So he goes running the trophy case and like takes a picture. He's looking at it, and then he's like, he just goes catatonic. He's just like stops talking.
We should note
even more catatonic.
No, yeah, everyone's like asking, like, Reese, what is wrong? And he like just slides the floor. He's like, oh, like can't speak or anything until someone finally takes a picture and like turns it over and sees it's written on the back is whatever his father's name is.
This moment, you're not understanding. Bobby, I think this moment has to be played by another actor because like the Reese, either through direction or script or choice, is so incapable of communicating even emotions that other actors have to essentially play out this scene.
Yeah. So it's real that his father was the one who was supposed to be in the noose, and then he called in sick. So his father was responsible, quote unquote, for Charlie's death.
Because the set designer was responsible for that.
Yeah.
So when they first showed the picture of the cast photo in the first like 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I was even thinking that kid kind of looks like the Reese kid.
It was almost the same. Yeah. It may have been the same.
So like it could have been. So one, how does that Ryan kid who looks at the picture
and knows Reese's father.
And knows Reese? He's like his best friend and knows his dad. How does he at one point be like, oh, there's a relation there? Knowing that he went to that high school
and it also
having the reprint of the original, having the reprint of the original playbill.
How's Reese not come across that picture?
Well, but Reese also knows where the picture is. So in the world of this movie, we're led to believe Reese is aware of this picture's existence, though has never looked at it before, which is insane. Like
had been cast in that role. And he knows he's in this production, this infamous production from 20 years ago. He never once looked at that picture, which, as you say, Alex, he knew was there.
And his father is standing right next to Charlie. So if you're looking at Charlie in the picture,
and
you're going to see his dad.
Never mentioned, hey, I was in that 20 years ago.
That was my role.
It didn't go too well. Yeah.
Would I tell you, join the football team?
Yeah.
There's a reason behind it.
Listen to what I'm saying.
You're less likely to break your neck in a football
game. And also, I didn't get... Also, why they played this up so much. Because, like, to me, if you're going to put that in there, you put it in later in the movie, like, after someone has died.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, the only weird thing that has happened is the door that usually is unlocked is locked.
And there's some weird noises.
Yeah. But, like, there was no reason at this point for these characters to be like, oh, my God, the ghost of Charlie is here and he's trying to kill me because my dad was the one that called out sick and he's the reason he's dead.
Right. Yeah.
Like, maybe you jump to that once, like, people are hanging from the rafters of the theater, but...
Right. Or I would have said...
Well, they had one more twist they had to get to later. So
there's a second.
That's true.
Or build this up a little bit earlier on so that this... Because playing this out as a twist was so... dumb. Like, if they had built this up, again, this movie's terrible. I'm not trying to rewrite it on the spot, but...
But if Reese did know, at the same time, if Reese did know, there wouldn't be a movie, because you'd think if Reese knew, he would stay as far away from this play as humanly possible.
It's true. He'd be like, I'm out of here. Yeah.
So again, it's one of those logical things that if you answer the question logically, the movie doesn't exist.
I just want to read the next note I have in my paper. We've already talked about it. Fantastic. It's just a note saying, 85% of this movie... is the cameraman yelling Cassidy, Reese, or Pfeiffer, and Reese not talking. Yes. 85% of the film is made
of catatonic.
A lot of shots to the floor, too.
Yeah.
So then we get a flashback within the movie where where Ryan gets separated from everybody else. You guys know what I'm talking about,
right? Yeah, yeah. They realize Ryan's gone, and so then they show what Ryan is shooting because Ryan takes out his cell phone. At the same time all this is going on, they're showing what Ryan is seeing.
Because he's got his night vision app.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he ends up in another part of the catacombs.
Yeah, where the hell is he going?
He goes like Indiana Jones. A tiny door.
Yeah, what was with that tiny door?
I know, it's like a leprechaun door. Like, what school needs has? Yeah, what use would that be?
What is this school?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a school in the middle of Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's not like this is like Victoria, England, where like, oh, this was a torture chamber in the 1600s. Like, it's freaking Nebraska. The state, it's like not even 200 years old.
Right. Yeah.
I think.
It's one of the sure, ones. Sounds good. Yeah. So he is on one side of a locked door, and I'm going to go to his flashback. Well, it's not even clear if he's alive or dead, because the other characters are just freaking out. And we just spent 5 minutes with them freaking out. Then I'm like, there's a lot of
the film gets very repetitive.
What was that thing he saw after he goes in the leprechaun door and he's in that,
he sees like
that nondescript, like, I don't even know what to call this room other than just a dark room.
Yeah.
Don't know what it's for.
It was like
he saw like someone I thought like hanging.
Yeah. Which I don't know if they're saying that was like the janitor or something or if it was a ghost.
Like you never, they never came back to
that. Because the janitor's food is there. They made sure that the camera rested. A camera that is all over the place in this movie. They rested on like a half,
maybe the janitor,
a half full cup of coffee and like a half eaten donut.
Maybe the janitor.
Yeah, what was the point of
or
that
a sandwich?
Well, maybe the janitor lives there, and the ghost had to get him out of the way so that. Maybe.
Was that supposed to be the
now,
janitor?
Now, was this impromptu?
I couldn't even say with 100% certainty
that it was somebody hanging.
I thought it was just a spooky image. Like the ghost was trying to make like some kind of a spooky image to kind of scare him or taunt him a bit. Or it was one of those things like in the movie like where the scary thing happens in the background and they just don't turn their head, you know, let and see it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't care. It was very confusing. It could have been the janitor or it literally could have been a curtain. I don't know.
Either way.
Yeah.
I thought at first it was like a wind chime. Like it was really unclear.
It could be anything.
The death of a wind chime.
The wind chimes. Yeah. Coming in 2016 to Bellevue High School, whatever it's called.
Bellevue.
What was the name of this app?
Cornfield High School.
No,
Nebraska.
I don't remember that either. I'm sorry.
Husker High.
So he eventually gets back up to the backstage area, and
here's them all screaming for him, and he runs back up to them.
And now, why did he abandon them for so long?
Well, he lost them when they were running away.
Yeah. When they were running, and we get the one moderately cool shot in the movie, which again makes me think that this wasn't developed as a found footage movie of like the kind of like hangman image, kind of like coming in the like flickering light, which is not terribly shot, but. You know, I guess I feel the need to pay this film one compliment.
The movie had a couple of jump scares that worked, but really jump scares are kind of like a fallback, you know, if the story isn't as good as it should be. So I'm not sure if that's really a compliment, but
yeah,
the jump scares got me, but that's kind of like a cheap thrill. That's not really, yeah.
But, and then he just grabs Ryan Ryan or a magic rope?
Has he fallen off the ladder yet?
No, it's not Ryan. No. Okay, so he goes back up and he starts fighting with Reese and he's like, why'd you leave me back there? And he's like, I gotta run up here, blah, blah. And
oh, this is they the start part fighting where about, Cassidy gets...
Yeah, they start fighting about...
Rug burn.
Cassidy starts...
They start fighting about like the fact attack, that they're even there and how Reese's fault and how it's Ryan's fault, whatever. And then they start hearing like footsteps like on the ceiling. So they like, all shut up and they come back on the hall and they hear these footsteps like coming at them. And then all of a sudden, Cassidy is just like yanked up.
Yeah,
and drops back down, and she starts freaking. They all start freaking out, and then they see her neck. She got like rope burn on her neck.
Yes,
and
now they have to get out.
Then becomes like it gets like infected. She gets like
it's like pulsating. Like it's like a special effect.
Like a
disease. They get like the veins.
Which
are
once again, that's the other thing that bothered me about this is when you have like movies like this where the evil entity is. Based on some story, like in this case, all right, he got hung or whatever. Like, I feel like you need like a consistent way to kill people.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, okay, one time he's gonna kind of hang someone but let him go, which will give them rope burn, which then like turns their neck black.
Yeah.
Other times, oh no, they're just gonna push you off a ladder and then hang you. It was just like that every single time. It was like a different.
You probably get bored with just a noose after a while. You have to spice it up for yourself.
Yeah, but I thought it would have been. Yeah, I thought it would have been better if like they all died. And two, you needed more main characters too.
Yes. Yes.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but four people.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to get any sort of killing momentum going.
Yeah. No, and kills don't come until like 40 minutes in.
And then you're past the halfway point.
Yeah. Like, why not have the janitor in there? Why not have him like?
Maybe the janitor wasn't there.
Maybe his scene got cut.
I think a lot of scenes got cut.
I feel like yeah. I feel like there was a lot cut.
But
too,
that's just so weird, because why would you cut stuff out of a found footage movie if it's supposed to be sort of jumbled up?
I think because they realized it was terrible, and they wanted to shorten its running time.
They were like, "Some of this footage needs not to be found."
They made the experience.
It was
this footage was better off.
That's gonna be the special features in the DVD, is trying to find the footage of the found footage film.
So what happens then? So Cassie's got rope burn, and then
Now they realize they have to escape. Is this when he tries to make the little Goldberg device out of like chairs and stools and a garbage can to break the one window that he decides to break, which is the window on top of the gymnasium, instead of just, you know, breaking a ground level window?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
he turns around and comes back, and they're all gone. His makeshift ladder or whatever is gone. He starts freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the locker room.
And then no, we jumped way ahead.
Did we?
I literally don't know. Yeah,
the phone starts ringing, and it's like, oh, you were right.
In my
notes, they've got to do the air conditioning vent in the theater.
They can't get out. They can't get out, so Ryan starts saying, "Fuck you, Charlie! Fuck you!" And they're like, "Don't say his name!" And Charlie's like, "I'm gonna climb this ladder!"
That was a terrible impersonation of that character, but...
When did Ryan get a Boston accent?
Charlie! So, I don't even know what that was, but it was hilarious.
Fuck you, Charlie! So he climbs up this ladder.
Is he Mark Wahlberg like, suddenly in this
movie?
How about them apples,
hey,
Charlie?
Hey, Charlie, fuck you, okay? I'm going to climb this ladder.
I don't care about your freaking gallows. I don't care.
I think you're so smart, Charlie.
I can outfox you.
I'm from Nebraska.
That's right.
I know how to deal with people like you.
That's how we roll. So he tries to open the vent, and all the
Charlie, say hello to your mother for me.
So Cassidy is like, come down, Ryan! And he's like, oh, fuck you, Charlie! And he starts pulling on this vent. Which is like, this is like an intense scene, right? The camera's all shaking, and everyone is shouting, and he's like dangling on a ladder, and I'm like, he's totally gonna fall, which of course he does. And he hits the ground, and literally, like, this asshole...
In no way has this...
And this asshole is now like, he's like, yeah, Charlie, yeah! Then he hits the ground, and he's like, because he's broken his leg like a dipshit. And I don't even think I think this ghost could have just waited it out and let these idiots kill themselves.
I actually don't think Charlie was responsible for that kid breaking his leg.
I don't think so.
It was just advantageous for him.
Yeah, I think he was.
That scene in no way played out like how Jack described it, but it was very funny.
And here's where we get the two cameras, right? Because then they all break and run.
Yeah.
And the door slams on Ryan. And they start pounding on the door to get to Ryan. But then they freak and they run. No, Cassidy freaks. I can't take this anymore. And she leaves. Then Pfeiffer and Reese follow Cassidy.
Now you know their names.
Yes. So now they follow Cassidy around the same three hallways that is the set of this movie.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and come back. And the door shuts and it's locked and they can't get in. And all they hear is, like, muffled screams. And he starts saying, look, I'm sorry, then nothing. Then they go in, they find a broken cell phone, then it jump cuts, and now we're back 10 minutes, and we see his phone.
Yeah.
And all it is him, like, cowering on the ground, and then we get another of one of the very, very few effective shots of this ghost materializing.
Yeah.
And then I guess he gets hung.
I guess. Well,
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so the ghost. So you see the ghost for the first time here, and it's like this giant guy in like an executioner's outfit.
Like, this really does look
like. Yeah. Charlie is really committed to this part. I mean,
like, why wouldn't it be Charlie? Like, this, he's like a scrawny 16-year-old or whatever in the play.
Yeah, that almost be creepier. I mean,
but then he's like this giant like executioner as a ghost.
Well, he still wasn't done growing.
growing.
Maybe he was just like a little like freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's growing now. He's like Michael Myers. He's big.
No, he's bigger than Michael Myers. He's like a freaking linebacker.
Yeah.
Maybe he still was growing after he died.
Apparently.
I guess so.
And so somehow Ryan dies.
Well, he gets
hung.
Yeah, he gets
hung.
He
gets hung because they find his body after they find his phone.
And then this is where now something happens with Reese's cell phone. Where his cell phone...
Well, now he tries to escape with his little ladder that he makes.
Yes.
And then it goes away. Something distracts him and he turns around and he turns back.
His phone starts ringing.
And then his phone starts ringing and it's his dad. Now, this also confused me. So now his phone has now been locked in a locker. And these master locks...
Where was his phone?
Movie because they easily break these locks like crazy.
Oh, yeah. If you learn one thing from this movie, it's that, like, you just hit a lock with
terrible. Yeah, that whole movie was a terrible commercial for Master
Lock. So he takes like a trophy, and there's a phone ringing, and Pfeiffer's like, "What's that, a phone?" And he says, "Yeah, I have signal. It's my dad."
What's that, a phone?
And he says, "Okay," and he tries to break open the. He does.
How did his phone get in the locker?
We don't know. The ghost must have put it in there. Maybe Pfeiffer did, because there are points in the movie. Well, we know the ending of the film, but there's points in the movie where you begin to realize, well, what parts is it the killer and what parts is it the ghost?
I don't. Charlie's powers seem to also be all.
Why? All right. He breaks open the lock. Poor Master Lock. And he answers it, and it's the ghost taunting him, saying, like, he's come just from, or they only want me, or whatever.
Which is the line that he says at the end of the play, The Gallows. All right.
So, that's obviously the ghost doing it. If the ghost wanted to deliver a message, why did he put it in a locker where he might not be able to answer it?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't, I didn't understand that either. Yeah. Why not just be like, hey, I'm calling you. Caller ID.
Why
ghost.
Not?
Ghost. You
know? Like, I get it was supposed to mess with his head because the caller ID says it was his dad.
Yeah.
But why not just? I don't know who put the phone in the locker. I don't know if the ghost did it.
I don't know.
Or Michelle Pfeiffer did.
I don't know.
But if you're gonna mess with him, why not just have him pick up the phone and be like, "Oh, good, it's dad." And then, like, say, oh, dad, and oh, no, it's the ghost. Oh, you got me.
Yeah.
Why, like, why even take the chance of, like, not being able to get to the phone in the locker?
I got a better one for you. Why even taunt him with the phone in the first place? Why not just get the noose and kill him?
Well, they knew that. Well, they knew that the lock on the locker was a master lock, so it'd be very easy to break.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I was just waiting for eventually, like, because the first lock that got broken was when Ryan was messing with the stage manager kid.
The locker, yeah.
And he used like a big.
I remember. I think he just like.
It's something.
It was some sizable like rod or something.
Yeah.
And then the second time it's like this little plastic trophy.
Yeah.
Like I was waiting for at one point someone just to like touch it with a finger and like
explode.
Yeah, it just kept getting worse and worse how easy it was to open a master lock.
Try doing the combination and it falls apart.
But they can't break a window. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like sand.
The windows the windows are made out of diamond.
And then somewhere in here, Cassidy gets killed.
Yeah, so it cuts back to Cassidy, who's got a camera on her.
Now we have red. Now we have red light, and she's like hugging her knees, and she's like crying. And I thought to myself, when she approached this camera, I was like, if she's gonna apologize.
Well, this shot was kind of cool.
Wait, all right, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say this shot was kind of cool. They kind of did a Halloween thing here.
Yeah, this was the best shot of the movie.
Yeah, where she's sitting for a while, like 45 seconds to a minute, just sitting there crying, and in the background, like slowly. It's so slowly they might not even realize it. The ghost kind of comes into
focus,
into exposure. Yeah. He kind of just lights up very, which they did in Halloween, much slower or much more quickly, so it wasn't as
much more effective
drawn out. But But and then she like comes up to the camera and for some reason grabs the camera and then all of a sudden there's a noose around her neck and she gets gallowed. Gallowed to
so
death.
So what camera was recording?
I think that was the camera. Wait.
Well, I was going to ask what camera was recording in the locker room when he was trying to bust the window open.
Because at some point, the camera starts to die. The camera says low battery, and he freaks out.
And the cell phone, and Ryan's cell phone is busted.
And that was the green phone.
And that was the night vision one. So what's recording at this point?
Cassidy's phone.
So she literally set...
Who's recording?
I don't know why anybody's recording.
Because at one point... Reese and Pfeiffer were in the same shot in the locker room.
Yeah. Yes.
So who's recording at that point?
You know you fail as a found footage movie when the audience is asking who is recording right now.
I was thinking that because it was that scene where the Red Room scene where I was thinking, okay, who's all recording what now? I don't remember at any point Cassidy getting the camera.
Right.
Of all the characters. Right. And
yeah, of all the characters, she was the one that like didn't need it because she was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And she was also the only logical character because she's the one who's freaking out and says, we gotta go. She admits right out that what they did was stupid. And now she's kind of suffering for it. I can only imagine that she must have, by the logic of this film, set up her own camera to take like a cool room shot selfie. And then when she saw the bruise on her neck...
To set up a cool room shot selfie?
Red room shot selfie.
Selfie. What, for Instagram?
Oh, I don't know. There's no... Well, tell me you can think of a better explanation as to how this happened.
She was periscoping herself getting murdered.
Well, this is... This
hashtag
is,
don't say his name.
Yeah, this hashtag is Charlie sucks. Hashtag gallowed.
Hashtag 20 prefer. Years.
Too soon.
Why was this one called The Stocks, damn it?
This is my whole problem with the movie. It's like, I do believe if they had just improved the script... Mm-hmm. And made this as a regular
written movie.
Yeah, yeah. Got a script.
Had a script.
And made this as like a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this might have been fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was going to say later on that. Yeah, the concept that I think was cool enough or creepy enough for
this did actually make me think of like...
I must quote our dearly departed Andy Wolf and say that this film had a lot of good
atmosphere.
Don't say
his name, Jack.
Well, it did
film had a lot of good atmosphere.
It actually made me wonder of like, oh, I wonder if there is a really good horror film set in a high school at night.
Well,
like,
I always
that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I always thought that would be creepy, like a movie in a high school in the dark, especially when I was in high school. I just thought that'd be creepy to be in the school at night.
Yeah, because it's creepy as hell. Like, yeah, like I've done that before in the past. Like after play rehearsals, like you walk through the school at night. It's like a totally different place.
Yeah, exactly. It is kind of cool though.
Yeah, so I just thought that would be creepy. So the concept was like, oh, maybe that would be creepy, but it's just so. Poorly done. It's so botched.
And there are times where they seem to understand cinematography that made me say,
maybe like if this they red
just,
scene.
Yeah, if they had just done this as a normal film. Yeah, just whoever decided to do this as found footage, that was a disastrous decision and worked against your time.
Well, it's not even a real found footage movie because, as we've already discussed, there are scenes that are not being recorded by anyone.
And also, if the police are supposed to have found the footage, then how come the police footage is included on the found footage?
Well, because it's all part of the case. So it's all part of the evidence.
That happens sometimes in found footage movies.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, they'll allow you to take, like, a step back, but it's still, like, footage that somebody's shooting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, is this where it just turns into the Scooby-Doo chase of Reese and Pfeiffer being chased by
Charlie? Well, no, because finally, this guy pulls the fire alarm.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Well, this is after, I think they start seeing the ghost and they're running through the building. And then he gets the idea, like, oh, the fire alarm. And so, yeah, they pull the fire alarm and all the lights start, you know, going on, you know, strobing or whatever. And they see the ghost, like, in the strobes, which I thought was kind of cool, except the ghost looks terrible. And then they climb up into, like, I guess the catwalks, is it? Above the...
I think, yeah.
Like the they start climbing the ladders to get away from the ghost. Charlie.
Yeah, who's like grabbing on as they go up the steps.
Yeah. And so they're up in the catwalk and they find the 1993 cast picture, which I guess the ghost left there?
Well, it's the one that... it's the one that... this actually did make sense because it's the one that Ryan folded up and put in his pocket, and Ryan is now hanging upside down because that's the next jump scare.
Oh, is that what that
was? So like, how did this get here? And then up, and then Ryan's hanging upside down.
He wasn't hanging upside down, though. He was just hanging, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just hanging.
He was hanging. They
someone placed it there. It was too perfectly propped up.
I thought it was supposed to have fallen out of his pocket. No. Okay.
Which this was kind of creepy, and I did think worked when he's like looking at the picture. He's got like the camera on it, and he brings the picture down. There's a noose hanging there. And they just kind of hang on the news for a second, and then he turns and Ryan's face is there because he's hanging. I thought that was like that was actually like an effective.
It wasn't a bad jump scare.
Effective scare. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
There's a couple of decent jump scares and like a couple of funky shots, and you know, as much as we're ripping on this movie, the guys who made it, I feel like, might have a good movie in them. You know,
don't give up is basically what he's saying.
What? They've kind of made it. They've made a movie.
Make a different movie. Make a different movie.
Yeah.
You could do better.
Yeah.
You have the talent. We can rebuild this.
Jack, you're such a good motivational
speaker. We can rebuild this. Yesterday, you said tomorrow.
I bet this is going to make the difference in their careers.
Yeah.
They're going to be down in the dumps about how much the gallows failed, and they're going to listen to this podcast and be like, oh, wow. Jack Easterbrook. He's really.
I read the Wikipedia. This movie certainly did not fail.
No, it made a lot of money.
No, it made a lot.
Oh, really? It did
a lot of money. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
critically,
it was made for nothing.
Yeah,
and made tons of money.
Yeah.
Well, so at this point, somehow Reese and Pfeiffer get down from the catwalk.
Well, they're up in the catwalk and they
find
the bodies.
The fire alarm goes off, and they think it's the cops. So he's maybe we can sneak back down. Maybe he's gone, and we can sneak back down and find the police, the fire department.
Yeah.
So they crawl back down the ladder, and there's nobody there.
But the door is open.
The door on the other side of the stage is open. They can see.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, we got to run across the stage and get out the door. It's open.
And so he runs out.
Yeah.
And she's not with him.
She is not with him. So he goes.
He has to go back in.
Back in. And she's just kind of chilling on the stage. She's
coughing like she got roped.
Yeah, she got roped.
You got roped.
You got roped.
Hey, that could be his catchphrase.
You just got gallows.
That would be, you got roped. That'd be the teaser line. And this is where the movie makes a turn that I think it wants us to believe it had been building up to the entire time, but
it's
had
so,
not
yeah,
been.
It's so out of left field. It's like, I was so confused when it happened. Like,
well, you
why?
Knew at some point that lady who was at every rehearsal
so.
Had to come back.
I thought so, but I was hoping
because they made
not.
That big deal out of, yeah. Oh, he had a girlfriend. Yeah. Like, you knew something was going to happen with that. And then they showed her in the montage of news clips.
Right, right, yeah.
They're like, oh, that's the lady that sits in the back of the auditorium. That's his girlfriend.
Yeah. I was just hoping they wouldn't. I was hoping it would just be like, it would just
I knew. Well, I knew as soon as the spotlight came on. So then what ends up happening is... Pfeiffer is like on her knees, like coughing,
which is the final scene.
So yeah, so then Reese comes and kneels beside her, and the spotlight goes on the two of them, which, as Jack said, is like the position they're in on the stage.
And he
kind of
realizes
right
he realizes there that he's screwed. So
yeah, but I knew as soon as you couldn't see into the audience, and there's spotlights, like, oh, she's definitely in the audience.
So he does his scene from the play.
Well, he figures it out, right? Maybe if we complete the scene, I will take my place in the gallows because my father called out sick and now I'm to be punished for this kid's death, which was clearly not my father's fault. It certainly wasn't mine. And he's gonna take it on the chin like at the end of Tale of Two Cities. He's get up and he's gonna make his valiant stand.
Wicker Man works too.
Yeah.
He
puts the noose on, puts his own hands behind his back, but they're not tied, and then he basically thinks, okay, I've spoken the lines. I'm standing where I'm supposed to stand. Now come on, Charlie, kill me. And now he starts calling out to her to leave. And this is the weird twist in that she continues to read her dialogue, to which instead of doing what I would have done, which is just, okay, take the noose back out, walk past her and kind of sneak out. He just stands there with a noose.
Sneak out like Peter Griffin.
he just stands there with the noose on saying, why do you keep reading the lines? You gotta leave. Come on, you gotta go. Why would you stop? Come on. This goes on for like 10 minutes.
He probably didn't exactly put the pieces together in 10 seconds.
I think he could have because I did. We all did.
I actually laughed before this started because I saw that they were on the stage. And before the spotlight went on, I'm like, what are they going to do? They're scene for... Nope, they're going to do the scene for gallows. Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then
this is where we find out that the new set also has a trapdoor.
Also like the other has a working trapdoor.
They built it exactly like the 1990s.
I don't even think they
rebuilt
it.
This might have been the exact same set.
I think they saved it for some money.
It falls open and
making a play isn't cheap.
He's hanged. And then... Pfeiffer just kind of looks on, and then like you see like the ghost like popping in and out of
and
you
know, bows with her.
Yeah,
he comes over and then you hear someone clapping in the audience,
and I'm like, what?
My notes at this point
and
are
of course
like,
it's the girlfriend.
What?
Now
is
how?
Happening?
Now how did she know? Now this. How did she know that they were going to come in and break in and mess
how
with the
did
set?
Anybody
Does this mean
know?
That woman was sitting in that auditorium every day, every night, just waiting? Come on, ghosts, start killing kids. Come on.
Well, let's.
No, she's sitting there in the dark on the off chair.
Let's get to the end so we have all of the information, and then we'll go back and discuss this.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Did you get all the information out of this end? Because I didn't.
I do.
Well, we get more information.
So now we cut to a police officer going through a house, and he's like. He goes,
they're sneaking around like they're in a drug den and they're going to get shot. You know?
Yeah.
They're not like serving a warrant, like knock on the door, you're under arrest.
They're just sneaking around. They like creepily find Pfeiffer and her mom, who is the girlfriend. Watching the same video.
Well, first they walk into, the cop walks into the room. I'm assuming he's wearing like a body cam. And like walks in the room and he sees like all this stuff on the walls, like of nooses and like programs from the play or whatever.
It seems to be like... Imagine that kid we all grew up with who was obsessed with like Andrew Lloyd Webber or, you know, and had like Phantom of the Opera stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Except it's about this obscure play, The Gallows.
And then he's watched, he looks over and like,
I'm a Sondheim man.
Yeah. So he looks over on the TV showing the original tape of the kid dying. And then he looks over and sees Pfeiffer on the bed with the woman behind her, like, combing her hair or brushing her hair. But that means the cop walked in the room and, like, didn't actually check the room at all to see.
No.
I know.
He just kind of, like, looked straight ahead.
He looked, watched the
They could have been sitting on the bed, like, with guns drawn at him and never would have seen it coming.
And he says, the cop is even like, I found the suspects. And I'm like, suspects in what? And like, how have
how are they suspects?
How are they suspects? How has anyone put this together?
They watched the tapes.
Well, yes, I don't know. Like, the suspects in a
how
ghost
How would you even murder? Know that? They're watching the footage.
Yeah.
Because she bowed at the end.
She did take a bow. Yeah. I mean, he's like, guilty.
And then the next day, she probably showed up to school like everything was normal. This is stuff that was left out that we could have used.
By the way, where was the footage coming from in that final scene when they were in the play?
I'm not clear on that either, actually.
I think it was, he put his camera down behind them.
But so that's an aerial shot.
I think that was the camera that Ryan was supposed to be running for the play.
That's like the official.
It like flickered on. He saw it like... Like
the ghost was like, I should roll.
I might want this for posterity. Double duty.
Yeah. And then,
so now she's creepily combing her hair.
Yeah, and the cop's like,
it's Charlie Brown's daughter. And then all of a sudden, you don't say Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown?
Was I don't know. It's the first last name I could think of.
Charlie Brown.
And then he looks into the hall. He's like, yells for his partner, and his partner like gets noosed. He gets roped.
His partner got noosed. He got roped. Yeah.
And then like the door slams, or the ghost like comes at him. And
this is like a well lit. This doofus in a rubber mask just walks to the camera, and it's the end of the movie. I was like, after all those creepy, eerie shots of him in the school, you're just gonna just show it all like it's Gilman. So, at least Gilman was impressive.
So we have so many questions. I want to start with one. So this movie is asking us to believe at the end that apparently Charlie the ghost can just go anywhere now. He's no longer tied to the school.
Yeah, I don't understand.
He's just free roaming, you know, like Grand Theft Auto style. Like,
usually in ghost stories, they are tied to one specific area.
Well,
you'd
figure that would be why they needed to get the kids in the school at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did they even... Yeah, if he could have just gone anywhere.
Now here it is, though. No one laid the trap. Right? So is Pfeiffer moving on the assumption that if she allows this guy, who she clearly thinks is a douchebag, to and knows he can't act, so she pretends to like him to get him to quit football for her to join the play on the off chance that his best friend...
But he didn't have to quit football. It was a class.
Exactly. But he did anyway. Right? On the off chance that him and his idiot friend and his idiot friend's idiot girlfriend were going to break in based solely on the fact that there's a creepy unlocked door they don't know for sure. Maybe it was going to get fixed that afternoon. And then she... So is this woman, who, according to Wikipedia, her name is Alexis. So is Alexis sitting in the audience all day, all night, on the off chance that maybe these kids are going to break in and trash the set?
What I'm saying. It seems like Pfeiffer's whole plan hinged on that Reese and maybe other kids, who knows, had to be in the school... so that she could go through this elaborate deception to get him up on the gallows and have him hang.
But why not just do it during the play and have him hang?
That's what I was going to say. Maybe,
the plan was
was just going to happen in the actual play.
And then this was a circumstance.
But then it happened a night early.
And then she literally called Nautilus. She's like, you know what? This would be cool. This would be cool.
Or they were playing that. And then the daughter's like, Mom, you won't believe this, but they're like all here now. And she's like, ah. Shoot, let's just do it tonight.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's
you get Charlie.
I got the ghost.
Also,
what
the thing that really bugs me about it is that are they saying that? I'm assuming they're saying Pfeiffer is Charlie's daughter.
That's what I was wondering.
Are they saying that?
But wait, yes.
Which means,
Wikipedia said that.
Yeah, which
but
means
the movie doesn't tell you.
Which means she would be like at least 20 years old.
Yes.
If it
so
takes place
is she
in 2013,
like acting like. She's younger and like just 2 years younger and going to school.
At what
point did she hold herself back to be the same grade as?
Because I had a lot of problems with this too.
When I first saw the movie and didn't read the wiki first, I watched the whole thing and then I was so confused. Part of that hour that I stayed up last night was the 2 hours was looking on Wikipedia, going what, huh? The cop walks through their house, and there's a picture of a little girl with black hair and someone with short blonde hair kind of smiling, pressing faces together. And I swear to God, it's only up for like 2 seconds. And I honestly thought, wait a minute, how could she be Charlie's little sister? She'd be like 27.
Yeah,
it's kind
of
like what
like
I was thinking, right? And then when I saw the woman, the Alexis character with her, I was like, oh, it must be their daughter. But wait, she'd be like 23 or 22. This is 2015. But it could take place.
No, it does.
It could take place in 2013. It says 20, it says I didn't catch that. Yeah. But now we know. So I looked this up. So apparently she was pregnant with Pfeiffer on that night when her baby daddy got hung. And then she, I guess, gives birth to the kid, obviously, and it ruins, you know, this trauma of seeing this kid get murdered disturbs her, drives her nuts. Compound on that, the difficulties, the real message of this film, of course, the difficulties of being a single teen mother.
We can all agree that's what this movie's about.
Especially in Nebraska.
And that's all weighing down on her, and so she decided to shelter her daughter and brainwash her daughter into committing these murders to get revenge. It was all that Bobby's fault, because if he didn't call out, my Charlie would still be alive. Your father would still be alive. And I get this idea that maybe she brainwashed her into killing this kid, focusing her anger towards the wrong target. But then why incorporate the ghost?
Yeah. Well, also,
but still, she's 20 years old and she's in high school.
She's a 20-year-old high schooler. And
why
also,
not just have it be 18 years later?
No one in the school was like, hey, the daughter of that kid who died performing the gallows.
Maybe they don't know. She homeschooled her and then made up a fake name and enrolled her in the high school.
This is true Wicker. Now we're really in the Wicker Man plan.
I am dead serious. 2 hours I stayed up processing this crap in my brain, trying to figure it out. I started screaming, "Fuck you, Chad!"
I thought for sure at one point, too, they were going to talk about something that the dad did, like something bad the dad did.
Like maybe he thought it would be funny and cause the hanging, and then he didn't want the kid to die, but it happened anyway.
No, more like he went off to, like, you know, drink or do drugs, or like he did something bad instead of doing the play. Like, he wasn't really sick.
I
thought it was going to come back and, like he somehow wronged her.
Can I put in a crazy concept of, like, wouldn't it have been better if they'd established, like, oh, the dad actually was the one who made it, so it was a working trapdoor in the 1993 gallows, or the dad was the one who actually made it a non-breakaway noose, or so that the dad actually was responsible.
Yeah,
other
I just than thought
the dad
they were
in the current world of the movie who's like, what?
Yeah, I thought they were going to do something to make the dad look like a bad guy.
Yeah.
And not just like, oh, he might have been legitimately sick that day.
For all
and
we know,
like,
he was
yeah,
legitimately sick.
Yeah, it sucks that happened, but
and some stage manager has just been living the life for 20 years, being like, ooh, I really shouldn't have
dodged
put in
a bullet
real,
there.
Yeah. Why'd I put a real trapdoor
in? They didn't appreciate his
dodged the hangman there. Yeah, why isn't he the one?
Or maybe Ryan's dad was a stage manager.
Oh, yeah.
And then him picking on the stage
manager. Yeah, why wasn't the guy who built the set the one that Charlie's trying to kill?
I think the real victim in this movie is Ryan.
Victim in this movie, Jack. The fact that I had to watch
all the viewers.
I think we're all viewers.
By the way, I was just looking at, like, I haven't read it yet, but the trivia on the IMDb page for this movie is, like,
a lot.
Unbelievable. Like, it's as long as the movie.
Yeah.
We'll
jump to a quick, it's not a question, but it's so wrong, it's right. Brian is right. Part of this movie was shot in Beatrice, Nebraska. However, that footage was never used in the cut we saw.
What?
It was cut out when this film was picked up by a distributor, although it's supposedly appearing on the Blu-ray or the DVD, and everything we saw was filmed in Fresno, California. So basically, because if you think about it, everything we see is an interior. We never see an exterior.
Except for the football field.
That mean that the original cut was so bad that they went and did reshoots?
No, I don't think they reshot. I think they just cut. I don't think it was reshot. I think it was
cut. What's the purpose of shooting in two different high schools?
One of the directors is from Nebraska and thought it was like, I'm guessing some of that exterior stuff just set it up.
This is a movie you could literally shoot in a weekend. I mean,
its budget was $100,000, so yeah, it was pretty much.
And it made like, what, $38 million?
$38 million.
Which is sucks from a box office perspective, but looking at the numbers, they made out like bandits.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, more power to them, but I mean, it's...
The director apparently also said that there was almost no CG in
this
movie.
I actually appreciate that when
there
I found that out.
There has to be quite a bit of...
Well, there's some. I mean, that ladder fall.
Yeah.
The shot where Cassidy first gets hung, she's clearly being hung by nothing, yeah. Which could be a wire work, but they had to
digitally erase it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Is it so bad? It's good. Brian, you can start.
No. I appreciate the fact that it was only an hour and 20 minutes, but
yeah,
it was a long hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack.
I think this movie is just a mystery. I would like to just, I almost want to see it again just to see if I can't make any sense out of it.
There's a little of that to it, the Wicker Man-ness of it. Yeah.
I would recommend watching it if you want to try to figure out what's going on or what we're talking about.
I'd almost rather know the twist beforehand and watch it and like trying to figure out like, okay, how like this works. Clearly doesn't
make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any more sense.
Doesn't add up?
But like I said before, is like there's some creepy stuff and I think the concept was creepy. They just really bungled it and really botched it. And the ending was what, throughout the whole movie, I was like, yeah, it's dumb or whatever. It's just a dumb horror movie. But then the ending was just so bizarre and out of left field that it just ruined the whole movie.
I would agree. It's also just like a demo reel for why found footage movies need to stop and like we can just go back to like actual movie making.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have recommended it.
The next Star Wars was going to be found footage, actually.
Just don't even tease that. Don't even joke about that.
Some clone veteran camera.
We're going to find out that Rogue One is found star camera footage. All right. That brings this episode to a close.
I just want to say one more thing before we stop. The cliche of these movies.
Jack, are you dying?
Yeah.
I wanted one last chance.
Yeah.
It's me that they want, Brian.
There is an XLR cable cord here that Jack could.
That's true.
There is this cliche that used to permeate these haunted house movies like The House on Haunted Hill and the like, where you think it's a ghost and at the end it's not. And it's somebody who's just committing murders. So I was thinking this is going to go one of two ways. It can either go full on ghost. Or full on, aha, it wasn't a ghost. This film didn't know what it wanted, so it's both.
It's both.
Yeah, I think it would have been better if there was no ghost.
So it's
kind of
like it's Friday the 13th part one or Friday the 13th part
two. Well, it's either House on Haunted Hill the original or House on Haunted Hill the remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a better analogy.
Yeah. If there had been no ghost, you know, as if we're reworking this movie, if you make this as a narrative film, not found footage,
except for that opening shot with the play, I liked that one.
I did like that.
Yeah, I did like that.
That can stay. No ghost, and you provide better motivation for why the let's just provide a motivation.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence. You know, but
I think the scariest thing about this whole movie was that the reason they showed the ghost too. I thought it would have been creepier if they didn't show the ghost.
Yeah.
Was that they repeatedly said that they want to make it the next Jason or Michael Myers or Freddy, this Charlie the Hangman.
Oh, good.
They want that to be like the franchise and him be like the killer. And
you know we're probably, the next big killer. Another one's probably going to be
made. Well, the money that they made.
Yeah.
How was that high school? I would recommend
directors, producers, if you're listening, take
like
the proceeds from this
film. 5 people have died in that high school in 20 years.
This high school drama department is going to be more dangerous than that town for Murder, She Wrote.
Very dramatic drama department.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back soon.
Wait, before we end, I have something to say.
Go ahead, Cody. Yeah.
I'm good. Never mind.
Or whatever your name is. Even if I'm not back for the next episode, I will be back soon. We'll see. Andy Wolf is the real Charlie.
Should we do like a found podcast episode?
A found one.
That's good.
Like edit the
found
audio.
just me walking around.
Just of us.
Brian. Jack. Cody.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Every now and then, like one of her voices will cut out, and you'll hear Andy saying something, and then it'll cut back to like mid sentence, and then she goes to the refrigerator and
Andy saying something pervy. Look for that one. Yeah. All right, we'll be back very soon. See you everyone later. Bye.
You got roped.